are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join now Pastor George Small and a special guest as they set aside this time to remind our hearts of the unchanging truth found in God's Word. Now let's join Pastor George Small.
Well, you are listening to Renew FM. Welcome to this special time, this one-hour time. We've been doing this now for a number of weeks because of what is going on in our world and going on right here locally in New England in our communities. It's an incredible time. And so if you've been listening, I know I talked to quite a few people that have listened quite a bit at this time. And we, at times, have different guests, different pastors also hosting, but here just to encourage you. We want to encourage you and point you towards the Lord. And obviously that means a whole lot of different things as we consider what that means in heart about following the Lord, seeking the Lord, but also putting our trust in Him and but looking to Him. And so we want to use this hour, and you've been tuning in, I hope, and we've been able to encourage you a little bit. And so we're going to continue with that this next hour. And I've got a special friend and guest that I'm going to bring here on the air from Southern California, and his name is Philip McIntosh, Pastor Philip. So we're going to just start our time together and talk about revival, talk about prayer, talk about different things. And I pray that the Lord encourages you this evening as you're listening. Well, Philip, welcome to Renew FM.
Thank you, George. It's awesome to be on with you today.
Hey, it's great, man. And I really do appreciate you giving us your time. I know your life, even though it's there's times of restriction and travel and so forth, we're all, as pastors, very busy. So thank you for spending this time with us.
And I've no problem.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I've known you for some time, Philip, and I know was at your church in Southern California just before I came out here, was there for a couple Sundays, and then came and landed at the tarmac here in Logan Airport, and I was probably a couple miles from the airport, and I was getting text messages from people in our church that the governor had declared a state of emergency. And so when I came back to a world that was really quickly changing, and it continues. And so I've been using this time. We've been different pastors hosting this just to point our audience to the Lord. And as I was beginning the time tonight and talked to you a little bit earlier, too, I'd like to just continue to talk with you, as God leads, of course, but about revival. I am burdened for the church right now. This is such an amazing time for people really to turn seriously towards the Lord and really begin to seek the Lord. And there's prayer movements that are going on around the world. And revival, I just am burdened about revival and even hopeful that the Lord might just very well, this may be something that God is doing in His sovereign way to really begin to bring some wonder, even a spiritual awakening. And so as we, just discuss these sort of things tonight and as God leads. But, I'll start with that, Philip, and your thoughts about as you look around in the world right now and you look at what the Lord is allowing and the church, what do you think?
Well, I think revival is a huge part of it. I think God is, I've been telling people a lot that this is, I feel like it's almost it's obviously a huge pandemic around the world, but I think it's preparation for what's to come. And I've seen it really used for our churches and many other churches. It's God used it to really kind of hunker down. And I think when we talk about revival, we want to see it happen corporately within the church, but it first has to start individually within the members of the body of Christ. And, I think a lot of people, I don't know about you guys, but I'm sure you're feeling this. Our people are at a point where they're growing a little weary, and they want to see each other, and they want to meet in person, and it's hard to tell people that, hey, God is working through the church when the church isn't gathering together. But truly, I've seen Him do, and just in the last few weeks, I've seen Him do some just amazing things individually in our hearts, and I think it's almost like He's pulled everything back to get us all to a place where we no longer are dependent upon others. We're not dependent upon the church system or structure in a sense, but we're finding that we're solely dependent upon Him. And I think that's where revival starts, where we realize that we are empty and the only person that can fill us is Jesus. And I'm a huge proponent of going to church. And but church, you know, yes, can fill us, but Jesus is the only one that can fill us. And I think God is using this in amazing ways to bring us back to that place where we are going to the source. Just like the Samaritan woman at the well, you know, Jesus said, if you knew the water that I offered you, and Jesus is here offering us all that water. When we look and say, oh, the well's empty, the church is empty, Jesus has been here saying, nope, it's not empty, and I'm the one who can give you that living water. So that's for me, that's one thing I've definitely seen the Lord using all these things to get us back to our individual relationships with Him and Him being that true source.
Yeah, Philip, I'm right there with you. We often say here, you know, intimacy with the Almighty. I think if I, over the years, can get our people seeking the Lord alone, individually, getting to know God each day in the Word and in prayer, that's just so, it's just where it begins. You know, it's such a powerful thing. It's transformative for people to grow in just this intimate walk with God. And yet we're so busy and we're so easily entertained and we have such a lifestyle in the Western world in America. I think, as I've looked around for years, that I've struggled with, wow, people are, there's so many things to distract them. You know, we can have a Sunday morning service and they can be not even out of the parking lot yet and already getting text messages or whatever that's already taking their mind and heart another way and even forgetting what we were talking about already on a Sunday morning and the need to be near the Lord. And as you're mentioning, just this season where a lot of us are at home, aren't we? Our lives are stripped down. Yeah, tough not to be able to come together. We need the fellowship of the brethren, right? We're just members of the body. We're individual members. We're not the church by ourselves. But true, you know, we need to get to know God. We need to know Him and walk with Him. And, you know, many years ago, you'd ride a horse to work, right? You know, and you would ride a, you know, you'd have all this free time, you know, quiet time. You know, the world was different a long time ago. And then with technology and more technology, our life is just filled with noises and complication. It's complicated. And yeah, I think, amen. I think that's a significant thing that's going on. And I pray as you're listening to Pastor Philip and I, that I just pray that you're learning the power and the beauty of drawing near to God and getting to know Him and reading His Word and praying and seeking His face. It's a powerful thing. If the church at large, if that comes from this time, it's going to be powerful. Philip, your further thoughts?
Yeah, I think a couple weeks ago, you know, I had a few people from our church that were just sharing their heart of frustration, and these were a couple people that are really plugged in. They serve. They're with small groups or with the body of Christ on a regular basis. And it just kind of made me, you know, going back to that thought of just Jesus is enough, you know, it made me think of how easy it is for me, you know, to depend on, to find myself, you know, one, serving Jesus, and that becomes my dependency. You know, I'm serving God, I'm good. And then I can find myself saying, okay, as long as I'm with Jesus' people, you know, whether it be at church or in small group settings, discipleship, whatever that may look like, I'm getting filled up because I'm with Jesus' people. And it's like you said, George, I mean, I was talking to my wife the other day and we were just talking about the fact of how much we were able to get done in a period of a day before all this happened. We could truly get done a lot of things. And now we're lucky to get out and to, mm-hmm. you know, be able to get one errand, two errands done in a day. And you go to the store, and now you plan to, you know, make sure your desk is with you, and you plan to wait. And you know, I don't know how it is there in New England, but with us, we've got the lines outside, and they're only letting you know a certain amount of people in a store each time. And so you realize, okay, I'm not able to get as much done as I was able to before. And like you said, I think it's somewhat you going to work on horseback. When our kids were little, we watched the series Little House on the Prairie probably a dozen times. We would go through the series with them. And it's almost, you know, it's almost like going back to the Lord saying, okay, I want you to just simplify your life. And, you know, you've encountered this, I'm sure, but when we'll have missionaries come back into town, one common thing I get to hear from them as they're overwhelmed when they go to a supermarket. You know, they'll go to pick up a tube of toothpaste and there's 30 different options. And, you know, they're coming from wherever their country is where they're a missionary, and there's one or two options, if that. And we have experienced, you know, we are so blessed because there's still so much at our fingertips to get. But, you know, those first 2 weeks walking into a store and seeing no cereal, no eggs, and empty barren shelves, it started getting me to a place where when we would go the next week and I would see, oh, gosh, yes, there's the cereal I like to get. I would find myself in the aisle of the grocery store just saying out loud, thank you, Jesus, for the cereal, because I've taken this tiny little blessing for granted and have become, you know, accustomed to being able to get whatever I want when I want. And again, we're seeing that those things are so temporal. And I think we're seeing as well not only a revival in the church, but we're seeing people's hearts opened up who have placed their dependency upon the world. And they're seeing that, you know, I think we all are kind of flabbergasted and amazed how quickly everything happened. Within really a less than a two-week period, our country shut down. And you know, our country is fairly newer than most countries in the world, but all of the infrastructure and all of that man has done to build up our country, within that short a period of time, it's just a reminder of how quickly man's buildings and man's efforts can come crashing down. We're going through the book of Revelation right now. We're just hitting chapter 18 on our midweek studies, and which is the fall of Babylon.
Wow.
And it's really just, you know, you read through chapter 18 of Revelation, and it's a fall that is, it's a fall that's quickly. It's not a process of, you know, Jesus comes in and he is one quick blow to Babylon, you know, we're seeing that happen right now. That just, again, all that we've found ourselves dependent upon and trusting in a sense is not happening. It's not coming through.
Yeah, it's exactly, Philip. It is extraordinary what has happened. And I decided this last Sunday, 2 days ago, to start teaching a short series of studies on Joel. And Joel is a book of revival, but it is interesting if you remember Joel, and I could appreciate if you can't remember it off the top of your head, you know, a little book in the Old Testament, but it begins with the prophet coming into town, and there's been a natural disaster, and it's a locust plague that has completely devoured all of the green life and the vegetation in Judah. And so the prophet comes into town, and that's such a fearful thing for those people at that time, any time. But, you know, if you're an agricultural, you know, society, and all your vineyards, all your crops, all that's destroyed, thoroughly destroyed the way it's described in Joel 1, the economic trial, you get the grief. You know, he depicts it in the first chapter, even with the farmers, you know, weep like a woman who's just a young bride who just lost her husband, you know, that's the way it's described. So in the middle of the plague and coming into town, and saying, look around, you know, the day of the Lord is at hand. This is the day of the Lord in this sense. But if you don't change our way as a nation, God is going to bring an army in. And this is a wake-up call. We need to cry out to God. But in the middle of that, there's this call that we often talk about, sacred assemblies, right? And get the priest, you know, to cry out and the people and cry out for God's mercy. But there's, in the verses, promises that, you know, God can relent. He's merciful and gracious. But who knows? You know, Joel says he might even leave a blessing. And it's that picture of revival. And then he talks about even the latter rains. And, you know, we have the Michael W. Smith, you know, let it rain, let it rain. We get that image of, you know, we get that image of revival. And it's fascinating. The prophet comes into town in a natural disaster. And when I was teaching on it, I was reading other commentaries. And Wiersbe made the point that, you know, God didn't even need to use a military. He just needed to use insects to bring Judah to their knees and to bring them to a place of crisis and get their attention. And I said, you know, in America, you know, we're the greatest nation in the world. All God needed to do was bring a little virus. And it's incredible. As you say, you know, in March, I think it was March, I was out in California 2 weeks, but you and I had lunch together. We went out, you know, like normally would, right? You just go out. We took lunch. Pretty cool. Good food. And I was just a matter of days. I was on a plane coming back, and like you said, so quickly, like a locust plague, you know, so quickly that I was talking about that on Sunday with our church that, you know, one day the economy is booming in it, Judah, you know, the markets are mm-hmm. hopping, and the next day come out and there's these bugs everywhere, and just that quickly. And so the cry for revival and the cry for God's mercy and what is God doing through this, you know, as we're trying to hear his heart and voice at this time around the world, incredible what God is doing. You're the other side of the country, and we're here in New England, and I've interviewed missionaries in other continents. We're all in this together. It's so extraordinary what is happening. And I do believe, as you have mentioned, the simplifying our life, it's necessary if you really want to know God. If it's too filled up and too complicated, you can miss out on knowing the Lord. You know, you can just miss out on really knowing the power of God. One of the steps with intimacy with the Almighty, Chuck Swindoll book I take our people through here once in a while, is the discipline of simplicity. That's the first thing he says. If you want to know the Lord, the discipline of simplicity, there are a lot of good things, but some good things got to go. Or if you're not making the time to really know your God, you need to simplify your life. And there you go. Life is changing in an amazing, amazing way. So I do really appreciate your thoughts about that. Now, I'm starting tomorrow with our church, and 27 days we're going to pray for revival here locally. I've seen churches around the country that are doing, you know, 30 days and so forth. I've even borrowed some material from other churches. And tomorrow there's this praying on the mountain with an old guy. He was even on the Fox News today, which is a man, I don't know if you've heard about it, but North Carolina, he's fought in World War II, been praying for revival. Some pastors joined him in January, his little prayer garden in the mountain, and we're so moved. And they were going to invite another 100, and 200 pastors were going to come to the next meeting, because it just seemed this man the Lord is putting on his heart to pray for an awakening. And then COVID-19 happened, and so they weren't able to come back. But what's happened now, it was scheduled for tomorrow. It was even on Fox News today. 200,000 people have signed up now to pray with him tomorrow. So it's pretty extraordinary. And he really believes in his heart God has kept him alive. He was going to die a couple years ago. And he feels, you know, this old man in North Carolina, that God kept him alive two more years to pray for revival. And that he believes, you know, the awakening is happening. It's happening now, and revival. So
I think that's you know, I've never, we do our services, you know, we'll stream them live, and then we'll put them on our website. And I've always, you know, over the last few years, I've always felt like, you know, maybe we should not do that. Maybe we should record them and post them later, because I've always felt like the whole online church thing keeps people from plugging in and going to church. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, though, from this, just with that example you shared, you know, there could have been 100 or 200 pastors, but now 200,000 people will be praying.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen our attendance, by being solely online, we've seen our attendance double on Sunday mornings. So we're sitting there going, okay, this is something that I was kind of opposed to. I'm now seeing that there are people, especially this younger generation, that would maybe never walk into a church building, maybe never hop in a car with somebody and ride to church with them, but they would hop on their phone or their laptop and watch it when that mm-hmm. thing happens in their life where they start to question, maybe they will be comfortable enough to say, you know what, I'm going to hop on and I'm going to watch. And I think it was maybe week two that we as soon as, you know, we couldn't meet together, I started just a little series called The Church Has Left the Building. And and week two, we mentioned this, we were doing our online service, that, hey, if you need prayer, please call this number right after service. We would love to pray with you. And, you know, the first phone call that comes in is a lady who's not from our church, hopped online to watch just for some reason. And her words were, I need to receive Jesus because I am worried that I will catch this and I'm going to die. And I want to know where I'm going to go when I'm going to die. And, again, when we hold on, like we've been talking about, when we hold on to those things that need to be taken away, then we miss that, okay, maybe all of this happened so three or four people could come to Christ. Maybe all of this happened so, you know, the church could have a rebirth. And again, when we're gripping on to things tightly like that, we miss what God is doing in the present right now. And I think going forward, it's caused us as a church to say, okay, what are some of the things we're going to continue to do that we're doing right now? And prayer meetings, for example, you know, we would have people. I love our church, but prayer is a hard thing to get people to come to.
It is.
Yeah, I think it was Jim Cimbala who is the pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle. In his book Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, he said something along the lines of, "You can tell how popular Jesus is by who come, or no, you can tell how popular the pastor is or the preacher is by who comes Sunday morning. You can tell how popular the evangelist is by who comes Sunday night, and you can tell how popular Jesus is by who comes to the prayer meeting."
Yep, amen.
And even through that, I mean, we've been gathering on a regular basis. We'll use Zoom and where people can see each other, and you know, our prayer meetings, I would say we're getting 50, 60 more people than we would coming to a normal, just let's meet at the church and pray.
Praise God.
So God, I mean, in the midst of all of these hardships, God is doing something totally fresh and new. And it reminds me of Isaiah 42, verse 90, says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them." And here's the hard thing is, I think with revival, we have to let the former things pass. And George, I don't know about you, but I've been feeling this, almost this fear of, I don't want things, you know, people are so eager to gather together again, but I don't want things to go back to the way they were before this.
Amen. Amen. I have said to our people over and over, let's learn well, let's do this well. And we'll know if we do it well when we get back together. If we're different, we get back together and we get back into our same rut and back to the same pattern, we didn't do this well. You know, we want to change. We want God to do a good work in us and through us. Amen. I'm right there with you.
And I think before this all happened for myself, I'm looking back and saying, okay, the former things, I was stagnant before this. And I think the church was a little stagnant. You know, I'd find myself on Sunday mornings trying to get people to acknowledge, you know, something that the Lord had done or provided, and or how he had healed or done something awesome for his body. And it would almost take two, hey, are you guys even listening to what the Lord just did? And I think he's bringing us out of that place. And I would encourage all of you, that should be our prayer, is, Lord, don't let us go back to the way things were. And that would be, you know, and that the reality is going to be, I think, for many of us, it's going to take a while for people, I think, first off, to be comfortable with gathering together. So that's going to be something the church needs to be prayed up for as well. I think when we gather together in person, we're maybe going to be expecting, you know, the place to be jam-packed, but it may be, it may take some time for people to say, I'm going back out. And it may look different. You know, we were talking with some of the folks from our church as far as what will that look like. And somebody suggested, well, the virus, you know, can't spread when it's hot or in the sunlight. So maybe our services need to be outside and we all need to be 6 feet apart and everyone needs to wear a mask. And then when we go inside, we can take everybody's temperature at the door. And my thought was, oh great, who's going to want to go to church? if you have to sit 6 feet apart from each other, you have to wear a mask and you have to get your temperature taken. So it's going to be different for a while. So even I think when we gather back, it's not going to be like it was before. It's going to be different, and it will be something new, which is good, because when God's doing something new, it is always a good thing. He jumps in chapter 43, Isaiah, and he says, "I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So we hold on to those former things from the past, and again, we don't want to neglect or forget those ancient landmarks But we need to be open to the Lord saying, I'm doing something new right now, and I will testify to that right now in a season of desert. I've seen the Lord make rivers and do new and fresh things, which are great things.
You know, Philip, that scripture I've quoted a few times in this 1 hour time with other pastors. I had a pastor on, Bill Holdridge, a couple of weeks ago, last week, I think, and inside of his ring, he quoted that script. It's engraved inside of his ring, the Isaiah passage. But I was telling him, and not knowing that, but on December the 29th, I went to bed last year and woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep. And I was burdened as I was awake because there are certain things I had a vision for and was believing I was following the Lord in. And it just didn't seem like the Lord's hand was blessing it in the way I thought. And I was really struggling with it. And I was laying awake, you know, just heavy-hearted. And I got so heavy-hearted, I got up and opened my Bible and was seeking the Lord, going, Lord, you know, I don't have to do this. I was doing it because I believe you told me to do it. And, I just was in a very human way, crying out to the Lord. And, well, I read the scripture after, and I read those scriptures you just mentioned. It was just my next daily reading. What happened is then, there's New Year's, so I think it's the 2nd of January. I'm recording in my journal, catching up kind of, and I wrote those scriptures out. I felt the Lord really minister to me. I started praying them every day. I started my own little version of the prayer. Lord, you can bring rivers in the wilderness, you know, springs in the desert, you know, my own version of it. I just would pray back to the Lord. And then I was praying, put a highway to the north, the south, the east, and the west, and bring back your descendants. It was a vision I saw in those verses, too, that follow. And I was just praying it every single day. Mm. And then at our last prayer meeting, the 15th of March, I get back here on the 10th, the 15th. We are having a prayer meeting in our building. There's less people at church already because of what's going on in Massachusetts. But then the governor, we find out at our prayer meeting that you no longer can have more than 10 people gathering in Massachusetts. So that was our last meeting in our building as a church prayer meeting. We're praying, and one of the gals there decided in the middle of prayer, she read different scriptures. She read exactly the scriptures in the same way that I was praying them, and kind of, because you have to skip around a little, she read the same thing, not even knowing. It was something I was doing every day. And I felt like the Lord, I've been feeling that all along, that God wants to do that. He's going to do that. Mm-hmm. Rivers in the desert, springs in the wilderness. And then he's also, I told our church very quickly that, you know, I believe we're going to get through this, and he's going to bring us all back together. I don't know why I was praying that. Put a highway to the south, the north, east, the west. Bring back our descendants, you know. Well, now it's pretty powerful to pray because we're all scattered, you know. And
So
you share scriptures that I bear witness with you. They're beautiful, and I do agree with that. Now, we have a break coming up. I'd like to continue with you after the break and just continue to discuss revival. And maybe when we come back, we can discuss, you know, what are the steps to revival? You know, what, in your own words, you know, what do we tell our people? We've kind of indicated some key things already. But, you know, in this time, so we really use it well. And when we come back as a church, that we really are just the Spirit of God is working in a wonderful way in our lives. So if you can hang out a little longer, we'll continue after the break, and we'll talk about those things. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Yep. I appreciate it. Again, you're listening to Renew FM, and this is an interview with Pastor Philip McIntosh of Southern California. He pastors a church, Horizon Christian Fellowship in San Diego, and I pastor a church here in central Massachusetts, and we're here just to encourage you for this 1 hour or 50 minutes to point you to the Lord. It's an amazing time in this world. It's an amazing time. And we all agree what is happening, this work that God has allowed to work. And our encouragement, and we're going to come back after this break, is to encourage you that God does a good work, especially in his people. And then he's also wants to work through his people to bring people to Christ. So we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the second half hour of this special 1 hour on Renew FM. We're here, pastors, different guests at times, missionaries also, just discussing the scripture and sharing our hearts and here to seek to encourage you at a time that is so incredible in our lives. And so the first half hour, Pastor Philip McIntosh of Southern California, we're discussing revival and what is happening through this time of simplifying our lives, changing the way we live so we can focus more on the most important, the Lord, but what God is also doing that. And then the concern that when this is all said and done, when we come back as a church, that we don't forget the things that we've learned and we don't return to our old ways, but we go forward in the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor Phil, great to have you back here on Renew FM. And as we mentioned just before the break, want to continue just to discuss revival with you and what revival means. I am burdened in my heart and praying that God would pour out his spirit. Many people are at this time. It's incredible what God is allowing. And I want to just ask you, in your mind, in your heart, you know, understanding the scriptures, the steps to revival, if you were to do a quick study with a group from your church on revival, how would you encourage them to prepare for revival?
That's good. Yeah, I think, I think first we see just going through church history, revivals usually revolve around a time of repentance. And repentance usually comes in response to conviction. And I would say, you know, we've seen, especially in the States, we've seen a lot of churches, not preach a message of repentance, and veer from talking about sin. And if we know that sin is what separates us from God, then, in order for revival to happen, that should be the first thing that we deal with. And that's the amazing thing about God's conviction, is always accompanied with his grace and his mercy. He doesn't convict us to beat us over the head with it, with whatever he's convicting us with. He convicts us similar to kind of like the law he put in place to be a mirror, really. And I heard this recently, and I forgot who I heard this from, but the law was to be a mirror, to show us where our hearts were. And we wouldn't then take that mirror to fix us. You know, we would allow the Lord to fix us and to change our hearts. We wouldn't allow the law to fix us. We would allow the Lord to fix us. So I think for revival, repentance is a place where we must start. And I think, Jesus, in Matthew's account, after his baptism, he goes, the Spirit leads him into the wilderness for his time of fasting and prayer. And we know that the devil tempted him there. And then right after that, he goes and he finds Andrew and Peter. And from there, in Matthew 4, in verse 17, he starts his ministry of preaching. And it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So repentance, I think, is one of those first steps to revival, that we see that there are things in us that we need to turn over to the Lord. And that's the thing we need to realize, is we may not be a blasphemer, we may not be a fornicator or a drunkard, but maybe we have found ourselves trusting in temporal things. Maybe we have found ourselves lusting after things and not truly content in Jesus. And I think if we want revival to happen, we have to be we have to be open-handed and open-hearted. We have to say, come and search and show me anything that may be in me, Lord, that needs to be purged and taken away. And that's the amazing thing, is he's not going to beat us up. He's going to forgive us, just like 1 John tells us. He will, as we are faithful to confess, he will be faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. So that's the first start is for revival. And I would encourage you, if you're listening and joining us today, if through the season we're all in together right now, if you haven't taken the time to surrender to the Lord and just to say, show me, and maybe there's things you already know that you need to turn over to him, and maybe there's things that you need to say, Lord, even if I'm unaware of things that I'm doing or have done, would you show me, and would you let me see those things so I can confess them to you.
Yeah, confession, repentance is such a key thing. It is an historical revival. I think the Welsh Revival, with what you're sharing, Philip, and the Welsh Revival, that was part of, you know, they put it into a very simple message. This is, if you want revival, and they gave this few steps, but one of it was, you know, put away anything that's questionable in your life. Just do it now. Don't keep it around in your heart, your mind. Put it away. And repentance is so key. And, you know, search my heart, the Calvary Road. That's a nice little read. And, you know, it's about revival, the Calvary Road. Roy Hessian, I believe the story is, he's having a conference on revival, and he doesn't know revival himself. And some people from Africa have come to the conference, and they're experiencing revival in their country. And the way I remember the story, anyway, that he's challenged by them, like, you're hosting this conference, but you don't even know what it is. And they told him, this is basically what they told him, go in your prayer closet. Don't leave there until you've done business with God. And start confessing your sin, and let the Holy Spirit lead you, and start confessing, and just let God do his work. And then when you get out, you'll know revival. And that's really what happened to him. So he writes this little book. It was very powerful. If you really sincerely in your heart want God to work, and you really sincerely are with him, like, would you please just work in my heart? And what are the issues? And, you know, I confess my sin to you. I'm here. And there is a powerful work that goes on. And, you know, as he talks about in his little book, if you really are serious in that way, what can happen is these little things that used to make excuses for. Oh, that's just my ethnicity, and, you know, I'm Sicilian, so I have a temper or whatever. You know, I'm just giving an example. I have to be careful if anybody's listening that's Sicilian, we often have excuses for what isn't right, and some things that you are really short with your wife. You're always that way. You're very hard on your kids, or you're just not very loving. And when you start to let God do business with your heart, and if you're really sincere about it, suddenly the way you talk to your wife wasn't bothering you before, but now the Holy Spirit begins to convict you. Like, wow, yeah, that isn't right. I shouldn't be that way. And what I want to be is Christ and him living through me. And when Christ lives through me, there's a kindness, there's a love, there's a self-control, you know, there's the Holy Spirit. And a little book, that's the heart of the book. But repentance, and Roy Hessian in his book, The Calvary Road, so much of preparation for revival, so much of it is what you just mentioned, repentance.
Mm. That's good. I think also, you know, Jesus goes on, he goes on from there, and we find him on the Sermon on the Mount. And we were just, last March, we were in Israel, our church, and I remember we went to this location where they believe is to be the hillside where Jesus would have preached and the Sermon on the Mount would have taken place. And I was so looking forward to being able to take our group to get on the hillside and to go through the Sermon on the Mount. And we got there, and there's a church that's right on top of the hill that's been built. And we quickly found out that you could no longer meet on the hillside. So I was a little bummed out, discouraged. And and then we found a spot where we could all sit. And we began going through the Sermon on the Mount. And over a 20-minute period, there must have been maybe 10 or 12 different tour groups that literally walked just right in front of us, you know, right between me and the group. And I left really discouraged, thinking, you know, I just wanted this time of being on the Sermon on the Mount and being there. And kind of, you know, I kind of felt like probably the people of Jesus's time felt with religion. You know, they were probably finding themselves thinking they could not live up to the standards that were put out there, and they were probably discouraged and weary with the burden of the law. And here comes Jesus, you know, and he starts going through his blesseds. And I think another vital step for repentance is found in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, blessed are those, in verse 6 of Matthew 5, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And I've learned from that satisfaction from what Jesus says is solely determined on appetite. Mm. So if we are not satisfied, then we have to go back and look at what our appetites consist of. Are we hungering for the flesh? Are we hungering for the things that we've been talking about that have been taken away from us. And Jesus made this promise that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be satisfied. So repentance, and then I think the next step we need to say is, okay, Lord, change my appetite. Let me hunger and thirst for your righteousness. And because if we don't change our appetites, we can repent, but if we continue that down that same path and that same appetite, we'll quickly find ourselves eating back at that same place that we just repented of, and whatever that may be of. And I think this is an opportunity as well for us as a church to say, okay, Lord, change our appetites. I was looking back through my phone just a couple days ago at pictures, and for our Easter service, I get carried away for Easter. We go, you know, I think as a pastor, Easter is obviously it's one of our favorite Sundays to preach on and to gather, and we usually do. You know, we're not a huge church. It's just me, it's myself, my wife, and our cat. But no, I'm just kidding. But we always try to take a step of faith during Easter. So we'll usually during Easter we'll get about 10 to 15 billboards around San Diego, and we'll do. We've just felt like the Lord say, "Don't advertise your service, but advertise my message for people." And we've done these billboards the last 3 years around San Diego that simply say, "He came, He died, He rose because He loves." Wow. So I remember one Easter we were in a football stadium that was a college stadium not too far from us, and I was getting all excited. What can we do different? So we hired, you know, those planes, those little planes you can get that yep. fly the banners around behind mm-hmm. them.
Yep.
And we got two little planes, and we timed it out perfectly. So right at the last of the song, they would fly over the stadium, and they had the banners, "He is risen." And then they flew around Pacific Beach and the beach towns of San Diego right. for the next 4 hours. And so this Easter was a little different. You know, we weren't able to do any of that. We didn't send out flyers to our neighborhood. In fact, we went and filmed our service a couple days before down at a little lake not too far from where we live. And it was just myself, our staff guy, Brett, and Austin, our youth pastor, who did worship, and just the three of us there in this field with this lake behind us. And as I was looking back at my pictures, I saw a picture that I took of the, you know, us filming the service. And the Lord just reminded me that, you know, we've all been talking about the essentials. And, you know, we need our essentials, and we got to have stores open for our essentials. But I love that Jesus, He stripped us back, you know, to the essentials of He came, He died, He rose because He loves. And there wasn't a big band. There wasn't this or that. And churches all over the world had to go back to the essentials. And again, what are the essentials that we're hungering for? Is it for righteousness? So when our appetites change, I think then awesome, you know, repentance, and then we find ourselves hungering for the things of Him. And that's when physical, I think, change happens, where people around us start to say, "Wow, you aren't doing that anymore. You aren't watching that anymore, or you don't go there anymore." And that's when I think, because we can tell people all day long, "Oh, I repented of that." But when they see our appetites change, I think not only does it bring revival in the church, but the people outside of the church start to say, "Wait, you were this for that long, and now you aren't wanting that anymore?"
Yeah.
And so that I've always found, too, is just a place where the Lord wants in our hearts to do that fresh work of saying, "Okay, let me change what you hunger for, what you thirst for."
Amen, amen. You know, I see that pattern over and over in the Scripture. And teaching on Joel this last Sunday and these few days, as I was preparing, I came across a study I had done 2 years ago on the same Sunday, the Sunday before the National Day of Prayer. I had given a study in Isaiah 32 that was a study that ministered to me. I thought the picture in that chapter is amazing. I felt burdened to teach on it. And then we had a prayer gathering at our local hotel here with a few hundred people, and on the National Day of Prayer. Well, here it is the week before the National Day of Prayer. This year it's very different. And I'm in Joel, but it's interesting. The pattern in Joel is the same that's in Isaiah 32. And it's what we're talking about here, too. And it's fascinating because you see it also from God's, what God does to help make the repentance happen. And in Isaiah 32, verse 15, reading through one day in Isaiah, you know, I have my devos, the words just jumped out at me. I didn't remember ever seeing them like that before. But in Isaiah 32, verse 15, the beginning of the verse says this, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. And I was like, well, that is beautiful in the Old Testament, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. So I just started meditating more on the chapter. And this is the pattern in the chapter. And that is, the chapter begins with the nation experiencing God's blessing. It's like after the revival. But then God goes back in time in the chapter and talks about how foolish they were living. They were very wealthy and prosperous, very conceited, very, you know, their flocks and their vineyards were all, you know, they had all their wine and they were just busy and into themselves and prideful and a lot of foolish things they were doing and saying, you know, I'm kind of just giving you a condensed version. And then in Isaiah, God says, I think he says in 18 months or something like that. He gives the time, but he says, in 18 months, I'm going to do a work. And it's fascinating because the work is God talks about bringing tribulation, where the tribulation will come in. And now, instead of having this, you know, fruitful, bountiful, easy life, the life of ease, they're going to have a wilderness. It's going to be hard. And then in the tribulation, it talks about humiliation. God is going to bring a work that's going to bring tribulation, but the work it's going to do in their hearts is going to bring humiliation in the sense of no longer the pride, now a desperation. But as you read that, it says, I'm going to do this until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. Like God is going to prepare the heart, bring even a natural disaster, a challenge, a challenging time into Israel because they're so busy with whatever, so into themselves, that he's going to do this work and he's going to shake it all up so that they have less and they begin to cry out to God. And the beautiful work that God will do until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. And then as you read the rest of the chapter, and it goes back to the beginning of the chapter, it's this beautiful description where now the wilderness has become this incredible fruitful field. It's even like a forest. Justice has now come and peace has come. The government's strong at the beginning of the chapter. It's a beautiful description, but God had to bring something to get their attention, to shake them up so that they would get back to a place where they would start to get right with the Lord and humble their hearts. And I you know, listening to you, that pattern is Joel. God shows up in Joel and says, look around, you know, you need to turn to God now. And this, we so often quote Joel today when you talk about sacred assemblies and, you know, crying out for God's Spirit. And we often quote Joel. But as you mentioned, the Sermon on the Mount, the progression there in that sermon. But repentance, getting our heart right, it's really an issue of heart. It's all a matter of heart. And maybe, who knows, we'll leave it with heaven. COVID-19, you know, God is on his throne. What it all means is up to him. But maybe in this time where he's put this planet on pause. And, you know, I used to think, man, how can you ever get people stirred up in New England? Man, we're so stirred up for sports. You know what I mean? So many people are Tom Brady crazy. You know what I mean? It's just crazy, the sports and the success.
Tom who?
Tom.
Not just that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you know, it's just the success of the sports. It's like a drug, you know. I mean, it's incredible, even in the church. And I'm a sports fan, so I got to really guard my heart. And it's amazing right now. I've said a few times in this program, when I landed on March 10th, I had tickets with some friends to go to the Bruins on the 15th. And, you know, they were in first place. And, you know, that's just often Boston sports. No Bruins, no Celtics, no Tom Brady, no Patriots maybe, no Red Sox. Incredible. God actually did that. How could you possibly do that? How could you stop all that and get everybody's attention? It's incredible to me what is happening right now. And I do pray that a revival is coming. When we come back, we'll be able to say that we lived through a revival and got to see the Spirit of God, you know, an awakening in a beautiful way. Whatever the world's going to be like. Well, you have any further thoughts? We've got 5 minutes left here. Any further thoughts, Pastor Phil?
You know, I think I would just encourage you all in this, too, that not only is it an individual thing that happens, but I think God wants to obviously use this time to bring revival in our homes. It's, you know, like you mentioned, all the different things from sports to there's a huge concert that happens out here in Southern California called Coachella every year that just draws, you know, a music festival. And all these huge music festivals have been canceled. And, you know, all the distractions really have been removed. And it's so amazing how, you know, I'm at fault for this, but how quickly when we find ourselves in a place where we may be bored, that we so quickly look for distraction. Yes. And usually for most of us, the first thing we go for is our phone, you know, and we pick it up and we start just to scroll through things or check email or go on social media, whatever we do. And I think I see a lot of this in, we were doing, which was a totally awesome open door that the Lord provided for us up until COVID. We've been in about 8 public schools in our neighborhood, and they were letting us come in, and we were doing basically calling it Kids Church Clubhouse. After school, they could come and spend an hour with us. And you know, when we got word that the schools were closing down, and it was kind of like, okay, God's saying, now all these kids are going to be forced to go back home. You know, education's going to be put back into the home. You know, all, you know, people who aren't essential workers forced to go back to the home. And it's almost like God saying, okay, you know, there is a work, I believe, especially in the United States of America, the devil has done overtime in breaking apart the home. Mm. And God has, I think, given us a second chance for our homes, for our families, for our marriages, for our kids. And I just want to encourage those of you that have kids at home. You might be right now just running on empty, and you might be done feeling like, oh gosh, I don't know if I can handle another day with them all here. And take this opportunity. You know, I don't want to sound political or, you know, get on a conspiracy rant, but I do know that our public school systems, they've had major influence on our kids. For negative things. It's not very often that you hear positive things that are taking place. And the Lord's almost, it's like, okay, I'm going to bring everything back to the home. And here's your chance to get in the Word, to pray together. And I just want to encourage you, do not let the devil steal this opportunity from you.
Amen.
You know, and if you're a dad out there, a husband, you do not need to be a theologian. You don't need to be a pastor to take your kids to the Lord. Just open up the Word of God, pick a chapter, and read through it and let them read with you and sit there and say, okay, hey, what did you guys see in this? How did this speak to you? And then pray about it. And it's as simple as that. You don't need to feel pressure or fear. But I promise you this, that when you you know, open the Word of God, amazing things will happen in your home. And this one last thought, we, you know, I think it was week one of quarantine. And I said, you know, okay, we need to rally up and let's sit down. We're going to get into the Bible together as a family. And I'll just share this with you, that our oldest, who is the least interested in God right now, as we were going through our family time of study, literally answered every single question. And here he is, he's no longer at a private school or a Christian school, and his brother and sister are hearing the Bible every single day. And he was able to remember passages and quotes, and it was just like, and I looked at his brother and sister and said, here you two are that go to a Christian school every day, and you couldn't answer one question. you know, and here's your older brother answering all of them. And it just gave me, it infused me with hope that, okay, here's an opportunity, just to be a dad again and, to take back what I've let, other people steal from me, and distractions steal from me. And ultimately I've let the devil steal from me.
Amen.
And, so redeem the time that you have and embrace it. And it is okay, mom and dad, if you need to take a little break and go outside and sit in the backyard for 10 to 15 minutes and get recharged and refueled.
Amen.
And just redeem that time that you have right now.
Well, Pastor Phil, we're at the end of our time. That's just wonderful. And thank you so much for joining us. You're listening to Renew FM.
You've been listening to
and
Renew FM.
We'll be back tomorrow at 6 p.m. God bless you.
For our live broadcast here with Pastor George Small. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from His Word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.